listener, are we a guilty listener? The guilty listener listens to evil words, but evil words die without a welcome. We've already talked about that. So in the matter of the testing that the Lord puts us through, are we even participating or listening to the vile, to the wrong? And then verse 10, just to notice that it says, one reproof to a wise person enters more or goes deeper than 100 is a hard nut to crack. But if we have that attitude, Lord, what I want to learn, I want to learn, I want to welcome what you want to teach me. So our welcome, the kind of welcome with our ears that we give to situations, is an indication of who we are. Our welcome gives us away. Are we welcoming evil words, or are we welcoming a reproof? And that's just a question, you know. The evil words of the resentments and all the transgressions, are we welcoming the reproof from the Lord? And it may seem to the natural ear that that reproof is an evil word, but to the spiritual ear, it's God's love bringing about a purification. All right, then we're going to go to the last point, injustice. So the ingredient in testing is precious from the vial. And then the last point is injustice. And in verse 15, we have, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination. 3:26 says that he might. We're not to be the judge. We're not to put judgment on the wicked or on the just. But the Lord has, the good news of the New Testament is that he is the just and the justifier of him that sits upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that just came as such a comfort to me. It's not my place to justify the wicked. It's not my place to condemn the wicked. It's not my place to condemn the just or responsibility. And in verse 13, it says, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. Solomon was a real illustration of that. His own parents had committed evil. David, remember, he had gone and cast his eyes on Bathsheba and then had sent her husband Uriah to the front line so that he might get killed in battle. You see, what he did outwardly appeared right. Inwardly was actually evil, because that was the sin of murder. And as a result of that, it says in 2 Samuel 12:10 that the sword would not depart from his house, and it never did. So Solomon was speaking of something that he had found true in his own family history. But I want to just close with chapter 20, verse 22, which goes on. It says, say not thou, I will recompense evil. But in this matter of injustice, we have the cup of injustice, say. We've been handed something that we really haven't deserved. How do we handle it? I want to just point out to your interest that waiting on the Lord, that word waiting is a very rich word. There are 17 Hebrew words used in the scriptures for that word wait. And there are, six Greek words. And they mean many different things. So that's a whole rich study sometime, such as waiting on the Lord, being silent before the Lord, waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, waiting on the Lord as a servant, waiter, waits on the master to be told what next to do, waiting on the Lord in serving. Many, many, many different ways of waiting. But Jesus himself has told us how to wait. In Matthew 5, he told us how to wait. So we've been given injustice. How are we to wait? So someone's talking to you on the telephone about how they've been hurt, the wickedness of somebody and all that. You have heard, said Jesus, that it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, and here are some of the ingredients of the cup of injustice that we have been given. How do we drink it? The ingredients, first, to love your enemies. And that love is expressed by forgiving. Love. Another ingredient is to bless them that curse you. And the ingredient that, for instance, my husband is seeing in that, and to defer to them and to obey the authorities, even though you feel they are unjust. And then it says to do good to those. Find practical ways, because actions speak louder than words. And then pray. And then with that we say, beware. A dear sister came dropping in, I haven't seen for many weeks, yesterday afternoon. And she said, "And God blesses them." And does it work? Does it work? The last scripture, 1 Peter 3:9. And I think it's worth you looking this one up. 1 Peter 3:9. It says, so you've been given injustice from an employer, whatever, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, absolutely against the world's way. It's not the psychology of the world. What do you give? You blessing. And listen to this. Knowing that ye are thereto called. It's our calling that we are to, in this unjust world, to give a blessing. And what does the end of that? That ye should inherit is no man's debtor. If we follow it in his way, we drink the cup that he gives us in his way, we're going to inherit a blessing ourselves. I think that's precious. We're called to give a blessing, to inherit a blessing. Do you know what the memory verse of today is? Can you guess? Chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, and a broken spirit drieth the bones. The Lord himself, as the psalmist said, 5 in the Living Bible, is my inheritance, is my blessing, my prize. He's my prize cup. He is my food and my drink, my highest joy, and he guards all that is mine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we would have a cheerful countenance, a merry heart, as the cup that you provide. Knowing, O Lord, that no matter what the circumstances are, you, O Lord Jesus, have a way to bring a blessing out of them. You purpose good. And we thank you that ultimately, O Lord, you not only hold the cup that the Father gives, but you are ourselves, yourself, the portion and our cup, our prize, our food, our drink, our highest. Lord Jesus, for filling our cup with your living water, with your heavenly manna, with your spirit. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that we might remember that you guard all that is ours in life. You are our keeper, our preserver, our God. I thank you, Lord. Let these truths really go into our beings. May we live them, Lord, and not just talk them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Orpheus,
what Jesus said to Peter. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. So he then knew that even Peter could lose his faith. And he didn't, ultimately. He lost his loyalty to the Lord, but he came back in faith to him. So that prayer was beautifully answered. We see, is the fifth one, and we see there, you might like to look that up, we see there Paul in prison. Paul, the mighty Paul. Look how he speaks. Well, in verse 19.